is a Christian baptismal service, and perhaps you've not been to a Christian baptismal service before. Maybe you have. Sometimes you go to a Christian baptismal service, a so-called, and maybe it's not a Christian baptismal service. In other words, I think to be truly Christian, you're going by the Word of God, and that's what we want to share with you tonight as far as what does the Bible really teach about baptism? Why are we here? What is the significance of it? So let me take a few minutes to share with you. We do this because of what Christ instructed us to do. And you note on the overhead there, this is what we call the Great Commission given by Jesus after his resurrection from the dead. And here's what he said to do. It says that he came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority, he is in charge, right? All authority. In heaven and on earth. And here's what the one with all authority says to do. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So there are three things that Christ told us to do here that we want to zero in on. And the first thing is to make disciples, which we have done. We have five disciples here tonight. I only see three. No. Frank's over here, four. I lost one somewhere in the transition. No, I'm sure he's going to show up. But anyway, we make disciples. And then it's just baptizing them. That's why we're here. We've made disciples. We're now here to baptize them. And then it says continuing to teach them. And then there was four. Five. Anyway. Sorry, Nick. I no respect for persons here whatsoever, but anyway. The first thing we are to do is to make disciples. Only disciples are to be baptized. You know, you don't baptize babies. Babies aren't disciples, right? You say, "I can see you looking in the eyes of this baby. That's a disciple." No, you can't. Babies are not disciples. We don't baptize babies. We baptize disciples. I mean, that's what Christ told us to do. You make a disciple, and then you baptize disciples. And so the question is, what is a disciple? Well, a disciple is a combination of being a believer, follower, learner in Christ. So to be a true believer is a combination of these things. This is what it means to be a disciple. The meaning of disciple, combination of believer, follower, learner. The Gospel of John, for us believers, is very special because it's the one book in the Bible, the one Gospel that tells us specifically that it was written so that we might believe, and believing we might have life in his name. I mean, that's the purpose statement that John says at the end of the book, "This is why I wrote." Twice in that verse, in John 20, 31, he tells us he wrote so we might believe. Notice he doesn't say anything about baptism. John's gospel doesn't say anything about New Testament believers' baptism. And you would think if you're writing so that people might know how to what to do to be saved and have eternal life, if baptism was part of that, you would certainly put it in there, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. John didn't put it in. You got 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. It's not there. Did John the Apostle leave something out? Did he miss it? No, he didn't. We understand that you have eternal life by believing. And in believing, you become a disciple. Now, John writes, and he begins by saying the very first verse, "In the beginning was the Word," which is a title for Jesus. We communicate with words, and God communicated himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word. The communication. "In the beginning was the Word," that's Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Very first verse tells us that Jesus is God. And then a few verses later it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He became a man. The Word is God, the Word became flesh. He's fully God, fully man in one person. That's where John begins his gospel. Now, it's not enough to intellectually believe in Jesus. Lots of people have kind of a, they say, well, I believe in God. Well, way to go. You and the demons are in the same category. You know, the Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. I mean, okay, so you have an intellectual assent. That's not a saving faith. Even the demons believe and are not saved. Jesus said on Judgment Day, many will say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, I never knew you. So they intellectually believed, but it wasn't real in their heart. Well, to really believe in Jesus means that we believe on him as our own personal God master. After Jesus was risen from the dead, he appeared to some of his disciples. But his disciple called Thomas was not there. And when they told Thomas that they had seen the risen Christ, that he's alive, and we've seen him, Thomas said, well, I'm not going to believe unless I see it for myself. He said he wouldn't believe unless he personally saw the print of the nails in his hands and put his hand into his side where they put the spear when Jesus was on the cross. Well, you know what happened. A few days later, Jesus appeared to Thomas, and here is what happened. John chapter 20. Then he said to Thomas, Jesus appears in the room, and he says to Thomas, reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. When Thomas saw Jesus, he said, my Lord and my God. You see, Lord means master. Thomas called Jesus his God master. And Jesus says, you have believed. This is what it means to truly believe in Jesus. And then to be a true disciple means that we believe in Jesus as our Savior. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus, he said this, also in the Gospel of John. John 1:29. The next day, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, the penalty for sin is always death. The wages of sin is death. The reason we all die is because we're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short. And that's why we all die. In the Old Testament, when a person sinned, they would bring a lamb as an offering to the priest. And the sinner would then put his hands on the head of the lamb, signifying, this lamb is taking my place as my substitute. I sinned, I should die, but I have brought this lamb as an offering, who's going to die in my place. So they would put their hands on the head of the lamb, the priest would slit the throat of the lamb's blood would gush out, but guess what? The sinner would go free. This ultimately becomes a picture of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the ultimate Lamb, God's Lamb, the sacrifice that God has provided to take away the sin of the world. His life as the God-man was so valuable that God counted his one sacrifice as a worthy sacrifice to pay for the sin of the entire world, all of the sin, past, present, and future. In Isaiah 53:6, it says this, prophetically, by the way, written 700 years before the time of Christ, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity. That's the sin, the rebel sin, the iniquity of us all. When Jesus died on the cross, essentially the last thing that he said was, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. Actually, the Greek word translated, it is finished, is a single word in the Greek, tetelestai. It was a commercial term that meant the debt is paid in full. If a debtor back in the Bible times owed a merchant a certain amount of money as a debt, and they went in to pay off their debt, they paid off the debt, the merchant would stamp, tetelestai. The debt is paid in full. That's the word that Christ used. As he died, tetelestai, it is finished. The debt is paid in full. And immediately, the curtain in the Holy of Holies, which was a divider. You couldn't go into the presence of God. Immediately that curtain was torn from top to bottom, showing that we now have access to God through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, Jesus paid our sin debt in full. That's why we love him as believers. He's our Savior. Jesus died for our sins, and he has a book with the name of all those who accept him as Savior. He's got a book. It's a special book. Those who become believers have their name written down in Jesus' book called the Lamb's Book. The Lamb's Book of Life. Now, on Judgment Day, the Bible says the books will be opened. I don't know all those books that are going to be open. I'm pretty sure the Bible's probably going to be one of those books. I don't know all the books that are going to be open, but it talks about how the books will be open. And anyone, it says, not having their name written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire that we commonly call hell. Revelation 20, verse 15 says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you, is your name written down in the book of life? We're going to find out. In eternity, the books are going to be opened. I hope your name is there. That is the ultimate issue. Revelation 21, 27, speaking of, the new Jerusalem, the eternal home that we're going to live in, says, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life can go in. So there are many people who claim to believe in Jesus, but they're not true disciples. They're merely professors. Jesus said on Judgment Day, he will say to many that say to him, Lord, Lord, he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, a true believer is a true disciple, meaning they're a true follower of Christ. In John 8, there were many that were claiming to believe in Jesus. And in fact, it says many believed. And a few verses later, Jesus says to these same people, you are of your father, the devil. Obviously, they weren't true believers. But they were claiming to believe in Jesus. And here is what he said to them in John chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You see, true believers hold to Jesus' word. They remain followers. And one of the evidences that someone is a true follower is that they want to be baptized as Christ commanded. Can somebody say, well, I'm a believer, I'm a disciple, but I won't even follow Jesus to first base, which is, he said to become a disciple and then to be baptized. One of the evidences that you are a true disciple is that you are willing to be baptized as commanded by the Lord. In the New Testament, when people believed, they were baptized as a testimony of their faith. You see, the book of Acts is a history book of the first 30 years of the church age. And we find there, in the early church, they did exactly as Jesus Christ commanded. People believed, and immediately they were baptized. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the gospel, it says in Acts chapter 2, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. In Acts 8:12, it says, as the people believed Philip, as he preached the gospel, both men and women were baptized. In Acts 10, when Peter preached the gospel to the Gentiles, they believed and received the Holy Spirit. And then Peter commanded them to be baptized. In Acts 18:8, it says, quote, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Note the order there very carefully. They heard the gospel, they believed, and they were baptized. Without exception, the Bible teaches believers' baptism. We believe, and then we get baptized. We believe, and at that moment we are saved, and then we get baptized to testify of our faith. And that's what these here are doing tonight. They have believed, and they are getting baptized as a testimony. Now, I want to be very clear, baptism doesn't save you. It simply testifies of our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, it's not the water that washes our sins away. The water is not the Savior. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Jesus is our Savior. He did it all on the cross. Doesn't happen in the baptistry. It happened on the cross. That's the basis of our forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. However, baptism is a command. If one has truly become a disciple, a believing follower of Christ, then they show it by being baptized. And that's why we're here tonight. Each one of these getting baptized is saying that they have put their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And therefore, they are now a disciple. And as a disciple, they are now openly identifying with Christ in water baptism. Let's talk about the word baptize for just a moment. The word baptize means to dip under or to dip in to die. It always has the idea of identification. I mean, if you put a piece of cloth into dye, it's permanently identified with the dye. As we go into the baptismal waters, we testify that Jesus died for me. As we're put under, pictures burial. He was buried for me. He rose again for me as we come out of the baptismal waters. That's what we are testifying. Now, the Holy Spirit very specifically chose to use this precise word, baptize, which literally means to immerse. It is for this reason we practice immersion. Now, the Holy Spirit could have chosen other words. The Greek word ekao means to pour. The Greek word rantizo means to sprinkle. But inspired scripture never uses these words. Without exception, it always uses the word baptizo in the Greek, meaning to immerse. So here's what we're talking about. Note these words. These are all Greek words. The Greek word used for baptism, ekao, meaning to pour, never used. That word's never used. Rantizo, meaning to sprinkle, never used. Baptizo, meaning to immerse, always used. That's why we do it the way we do it. Now, we just want to be biblical here, and I'm not going to get too hung up on the mode. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with saving you, but it is what Jesus told us to do. Now, in Bible days, an ancient document uses this word baptize in giving a recipe for making a pickle. I'm using an illustration here now, okay? really not giving recipes out here, for, you know. But in this document, it says that the vegetable should be boiled and then baptized in a vinegar solution. The idea is that the vegetable would be permanently identified with the vinegar solution through and through by immersion. This word baptize most accurately reflects our complete identity in Jesus Christ. You see, we are not partially identified, but fully. Just like a cloth dipped in dye is completely identified with the dye, or like a pickle that has been permanently and completely identified with a vinegar solution. The Spirit used this precise word for this reason. As believers, we are constantly said to be in Christ. Immersion pictures our complete identification of being in Christ. And the Bible goes so far as to say, Christ is our life. We now share in his eternal life. We now share in his life. We are intimately in union with Jesus Christ. So we are thoroughly and permanently colored with and identified with him. This is the meaning of baptism. The very word reflects the nature of our union of being in Christ. And finally, Jesus then said we are to continue teaching them all things that he has commanded. So these are still learning, as we all are, as God's people. To become a true disciple is to be a true believer that continues on in God's word. To be a true disciple is to become a true follower of Christ, as initially evidenced in being baptized. To be a true disciple is to be a learner of Christ, as seen in continuing on in being taught and learning. As true disciples, God's people continue to learn with the goal of winning other disciples and building into other people's lives as they have been taught. So, you know, Jesus told his disciples, I will make you fishers of men. And really, all of us are in this assignment to make other disciples. We see this in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2:2, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, It's about 5 years that they have known the truth. He says, by this time you ought to be you ought to be building into other people's lives. But he says, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. Well, as these share their testimonies tonight, realize that they are saying that they have now become disciples, believing, following, learners of Christ. And a key evidence of this is their baptism, of which you all are witnesses tonight. Well, may God bless each of you who are now here to testify of your faith in baptism tonight. We will have Liz come forward at this time, and she's going to share her testimony. And then we'll go from there. They know the order, I think. So I'll get in my place.
Hi, my name is Liz Carbaugh. I'm from Red Oak, Iowa. I go to school at Iowa Western. So for my testimony, there wasn't a specific day that I remember being saved. I was going through all the motions, going to church, Bible studies, and praying. I thought I was a believer, but I wasn't saved yet. I had almost all the pieces, but was trying to put them together for my sake and not for the Lord's. For me, it didn't happen overnight, and it wasn't the result of a wake-up call. But eventually, I realized that I should be doing everything for Jesus instead of for myself. Once that realization hit, I knew that I was saved. My special verse is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, come on down. Okay, yeah, just turn around and sit down there. Okay, well, wrong hand. This is my first time doing this. Well, Liz, let me ask you just a few questions. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this evening? Okay. And you believe that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins, was buried and rose again the third day? Okay. And is it your intention to faithfully follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life?
It is.
Okay. Well, Liz, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Big Ben?
I did that on purpose.
Man, Liz, you're short.
Hey, guys, I'm Ben. I'm fairly new here. Been going here for about 3 months now, and I love it, so that's awesome. I want to share a little bit about my personal life before we dig into present. I grew up in a family who didn't really have Christ and the Lord in play. So all this is fairly new to me. And with that being said, after high school, kind of got myself in a pretty deep hole. I attended the University of Kansas for 1 year, and I don't remember a night I was sober. I was 18 years old with an alcohol addiction. After that first year of school, you know, my parents were pretty not happy about that, so we decided as collectively that I would stay home. At this point in my life, I didn't have any direction, no guidance on what I wanted to do with my life and how to go about it. So I think everything that one of my good friends decided he wanted to start hanging out with me again. And probably about 2 months down that road in the summer, he introduced me to a Bible study. From there, I learned everything, and it's pretty convicting for probably about the first 4 months. Everything that I was doing wrong in my life. And one singular day in November, I couldn't give you the exact day, but it was a Sunday night, late November, after about 3 hours of convincing me about how bad hell is, I decided to accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And the more I believed, the more I loved. And the more I loved, the more I wanted to be baptized, I guess. So, I forgot my line. Hold up. But yeah, that's how that went. And after that that conversation in November, I got offered a full-time job, and at the time did not know that was what I loved to do. And now I'm going to school for that. So with that, I call Christ my everything, but more specifically, I call my guidance. As stated in Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be watered like a you should be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's okay. Okay, I'm just going to have you come stand up here, or turn around, come down here and stand around, turn around, yeah. I'll ask you a few questions before I have you sit down. Just hang on there. Well, brother, it's exciting to see what God's done in your life here, for sure. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. And you believe he died for all of your sins, was buried and rose again the third day?
Yes.
Yeah. And is it your intention, Ben, to faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your life? Okay, why don't you sit down right there for me? Okay. Well, Ben, on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God bless you. Who we got next here? Nick.
My name's Nick. I grew up in a Christian home and went to church growing up. I'm very thankful to have parents who taught me who Jesus was at a young age and teach me the basic foundation of the truth. I transferred schools my freshman year of high school and had to deal with some medical problems. Within a few years, I dealt with double vision, a tumor on my elbow, and a cyst on my wrist. And during this time, I found myself living for the world rather than living for Jesus. I got caught up in what other people thought about me and compensated by hanging with people who had no intention of living with the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." I experienced that firsthand. It's a pretty truthful thing. My first 2 years of high school, I dealt with what felt like constant conviction and feeling lost in life. During my junior year, my brother Tim and I started going to church he got saved, and I started going to church with him again. And I started listening to Dwight's sermons and podcasts, as well as going to Bible studies, and I found peace and joy through Jesus greater than anything I've ever felt before.
Amen.
I don't remember a specific day that I got saved, but I know it was sometime early junior year. And Jesus is everything to me. He's my Savior and my Comforter. But most of all, He's my friend that welcomed me with open arms no matter how many times I turned away from Him. My verse is 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Amen. Amen. Just have you stand on the bottom, yeah, and then turn around here. There you go. Very good. I'll ask you a few questions here. So excited, Nick. Praise the Lord for you. I know you kind of grew up in the church here, and just exciting to see what God's done in your life here. So, Nick, tonight, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay. And you believe with all your heart that He died for all of your sins, was buried, and rose again?
Yes.
Yeah. And is it your intention to faithfully follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life? Okay, why don't you sit down right there for me? Okay. Well, Nick, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God bless you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tim Zimmerman. Growing up in a Christian household, I was aware of all the right stuff, or so I thought. I went to church and knew of the Lord and knew of Jesus Christ. I knew the Bible stories that I learned from Awana, youth group, and VeggieTales. However, applying scripture to my life, I figured out a little bit later on. Throughout my early teen years, I spent my life running from the truth. I knew the right way to live, but I always ignored it. Again and again, I found myself in the midst of trouble following the crowds and party scene, hoping to find fulfillment and acceptance from my peers, but constantly coming up empty. Through it all, I felt constant conviction, and quite honestly, I would put it as guilt. In March of 2020, the end of my junior year of high school, my life, along with everyone else's, got flipped upside down. The COVID lockdowns left me in a position of loneliness, and it really allowed time for the Holy Spirit to work in my life. I had hit rock bottom, and I finally discovered that Jesus Christ was my rock at the bottom. Finding comfort in old Chuck Swindoll sermons and listening to Pastor Dwight's podcasts over end times is where I truly started to seek the Lord. As it states in James 4:8, draw near to the Lord, and He will draw near to you. Through years of rebellion, I eventually hit a wall. Feeling empty and lost, I sought the only thing that was left as Jesus Christ. The verse I chose to share tonight is Psalms 138:3, and it is, in the day when I cried out, You answered me, and You made me bold with strength in my soul. Though I don't recall my specific time of salvation, I can humbly admit that the Lord was working on me for quite some time. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and through His blood I am set free from my old ways, and my slate is now clean.
Amen. Praise the Lord. right there. I'll ask you a few questions. Praise the Lord for you, Tim. Exciting to see what God's doing in your life. I know you've got some Bible studies going, and God's been using you already for his glory in a big way. So I know it's kind of redundant to ask you these things. You pretty much said it in your testimony, but I'll go through it anyway. But you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight.
I do.
And you believe that he died for all of your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day.
I do.
And is it your intention, Tim, to faithfully follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you sit down right there. There you go. Well, Tim, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God bless you.
Frank Jensen, I don't read so well. I'm nervous in front of a large crowd, so he's going to help me out here.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you to each one that's been baptized tonight. Whether you realize it or not, you have been an encouragement to all of us as a congregation, so thank you. And Frank, this is I'm honored to read your testimony. And if I do anything wrong with it, you can correct me, all right? Okay. Very good. I did not grow up in church or being taught about God. I just somehow always believed there was a God. I did not want any part of religion or church. In my 60 years, God has placed many co-workers, friends, and my wife in my life to share the gospel. In recent years, with all the craziness in our world, I felt more drawn to learn more, go to church, and not be afraid. I have come to truly believe he is now my Lord, my salvation, and my deliverer. His verse that he has down here is Psalm 91:14. And it says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name.
Amen. Amen. I'll ask you a few questions here. Dear Frank, I've grown to love you in a short time here. Just a little about Frank. The first time he came to church several months ago, Frank came up after the service. He said, this is the first time I've ever been in church. And then I got together with Frank and his dear wife, Tony, and I shared the gospel at length with Frank. And Frank told me, my name is Frank and I'm Frank. And so he said, well, when I'm ready, I'll let you know. And so I didn't press him. He continued to come to church. And a few weeks ago, he called me. He says, I see you're having a baptismal service. I'm ready. Well, Frank is Frank. I knew he meant it. That's right. So we got together and we're here tonight. So, Frank, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior
yes,
tonight?
I do.
Amen. And you believe that he died for all of your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And Frank, is it your intention to faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your life? Okay. Well, why don't you sit down there on the edge there for me?
I'm going to warm this up.
I tried to. Well, Frank, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God bless you. Thankful for you. Well, praise the Lord for each one of these new creations in Jesus Christ and openly identifying with him tonight. Let me close this in a word of prayer and you'll be dismissed then. Lord God, it gives our hearts great joy to hear of how you have worked in each one of these people's lives, to bring them to yourself, to faith in Jesus Christ, to being a disciple and now being baptized tonight as you commanded. Lord, I pray for your special blessing on each one of their lives. May they be fruitful to the glory of yourself. So again, we thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we just pray now as the word has gone forth even tonight through the message and through the testimonies of each one of these. Lord, may the word go forth and bear much fruit for your glory. Again, we thank you for this special evening and commit our week now to you. May you be glorified as we continue to serve you together. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming out tonight.